What would make a young man from the Federated States of Micronesia want to serve in the U.S. military in conflict zones on the other side of the world? Nathan Fitch, a former Peace Corps volunteer in Kosrae, asked himself that question and made it the heart of his documentary film, Island Soldier. It's a story that took him from the South Pacific to Afghanistan and back, and he told us about it the other day.
After I finished undergrad, I did the Peace Corps, and I lived in Micronesia for 2 years doing historic preservation as my primary project. And as a secondary project, I was working with – I was running an art center for young Micronesians who were interested in drawing and painting, and my background was in illustration. So it was a great project. It was kind of the way I started developing friendships in the community. Mm-hmm. And maybe 6 months into my service, one of the young men I was working with left to serve in the military – and came back maybe a year later, and it just changed really dramatically. It, you know, physically changed, lost a ton of weight, and the way he spoke was different, and he just seemed like a different person. And I think that I'd seen other signs of kind of military service in the community that I was living in, but that was the first time I kind of saw the change that happened. So I just got curious about what that journey was like, and I think that was sort of the impulse that drove the project.
Was it a change for the better? Did it take him further away from his roots or closer to his roots? Or what do you think it did?
He came back with this kind of southern drawl that I've noticed in, like, the Micronesians who are in the military.
Uh-huh.
And it was interesting. I have family in the south, but that culture is just so different, so far removed from the islands. I think at the time I was talking, or I sort of reconnected with him, I wasn't – there wasn't really a clear – judgment about the value.
Just that it was different.
That it was different, and that it was kind of astonishing that people from these extremely remote islands were fighting America's wars, that someone like him could be, you know, serving. He served a tour in Iraq and came straight back for some R&R, I believe. And the idea that just the connecting of America's wars to these very, this place that's very far from America. And I think there were also signs that were more ominous that I was seeing. There was an amputee at the school next to the house I was living at. There was a grave down the street of a Marine who had died. And I think as the project evolved, the consequences of military service have been something I'm interested in and something that hopefully the film kind of speaks to. But I think it's a complicated question, and that's part of why it was interesting to me. Within the community in the islands, there was differing opinions. Some people saw military service as their golden ticket to steady job and travel the world, and some people, you know, wanted to stay in their islands and do their thing. And I think for parents, there was apprehension. I'd say overall, the parents I've talked to didn't want their children going off because they didn't want them coming back in coffins. But it was a complicated thing, and that's hopefully why it's an interesting story in a way.
You traveled all the way to Afghanistan with your cameras. You got embedded to cover this.
Correct.
What was that like?
You know, it was interesting. I grew up reading war books and kind of have always had a fascination with war as a thing. And I guess, yeah, it was a difficult, long process to get that permission and to get over there. And then it was very boring a lot of the time, and then it was punctuated by extreme moments of, you know, tension. But I mean, for me overall, the experience was I'd worked so hard to get there, and I really felt like for the film, having that side of the story was really important. So,
well, you're following the lives of young men and any young women as well.
The female voice in the film and in the story that I tell is the families of soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
The island that I lived on, Kosrae, has, like, culturally, like, a good way to kind of explain it maybe would be that their church is divided. The men sit on one side, the women sit on the other side. So when I was shooting the young group of Micronesians from the FSM who were enlisting, there were probably a third of them were women. But the access I would have been granted to a young, unmarried woman would not have been... It wouldn't really have been appropriate for us to be alone. It wouldn't have been appropriate for me to, you know, film her.
So mostly you're following the lives of young men who deployed. And what kind of, You know, did you see any parallels among the changes that they went through? I assume everybody went through some kind of changes, right?
Yeah, I mean, the film intertwines different stories and different people's experiences, and I think that's there's not maybe it's a little bit like the Peace Corps, like your military service depends on, you know, your job, where you know where you're stationed, the relationships, and then so you know I think for this film it was important to kind of let the islanders, let the Micronesians tell their stories in their own voices. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think one thing that I would say kind of would be a through line for me would be a certain wistfulness and kind of missing their islands. And, you know, I think it's because the economies are so sluggish, I think a lot of them, when they enlist, would like to go back ultimately. They go, you know, to join the military to sort of have a job and be able to, like, provide an education for their kids and those things. But I think ultimately, at least for this generation of soldiers, my sense would be that if they could return home and there was something for them, that would be what they would want. I can't speak for everyone, but I think so the sense of wistfulness but feeling like things are kind of going down in the islands. And
well, there aren't that many options for a young man looking to start out in life, right?
I mean, you brought up there's a Reagan quote that's used in the film. And I think there's this compact of free association between the U.S. and the FSM, the Federated States of Micronesia,
right,
as well as the Marshall Islands, Palau. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of gradually drawing down, and the funding sort of goes down every year. And I think there's been a massive outflux of people as the jobs kind of diminish. The Federated States of Micronesia hasn't had atomic testing in its sort of region, but it was controlled by the Japanese during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And so Koh Tri, the island that my film features, as well as the other islands, were fortified. There were bunkers and guns, and the Japanese really dug in. And it went from a civilian kind of following World War I, the League of Nations sort of gave Japan Micronesia.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a pretty... From the accounts that I've read, a pretty good relationship with the islanders for a while. They were bringing in, you know, outside resources and jobs and employing people and doing things that generally seemed pretty good. But then the war came and it was, you know, it got worse and worse. And ultimately, an island like Koh Tri, the soldiers got cut off from the other Japanese troops. And pretty early on, actually, into the war, the islanders were kind of inscripted into working for the Japanese, farming, providing food. But the first kind of account of Micronesians serving in a foreign military happened at that time when a group of young men from an island called Ponape were sort of enlisted to fight for Japan in Papua New Guinea. And it's interesting in terms of thinking about the motivations of the islanders. They were, as these colonial, you know, powers came in, they were to some degree second-class citizens in their own islands. And within the context of the Japanese, that was definitely the case. And so there was this account of these young men, these young Micronesians being allowed to be part of the Japanese military, and they were allowed to, like, don the uniform and drink sake, and they were kind of finally level with this mm-hmm. these people. And I think that history and kind of the power dynamic of military forces in the region is also a part of the draw of military to kind of be more on a, like, there's a power in, like, the military uniform and what's associated with it.
It seems as if the story has many, many levels, and you know, when you set out to make a documentary, you find out a lot as you go along, right? It's a process for you of learning, not so much knowing how the film's going to come out.
Yeah, I think one of the most interesting things that I learned in the process of making the film was that in my head it was like, how do you go from, you know, the quietest, most peaceful, calm, beautiful, lush, tropical island and, like, go from that world into the world of Iraq or Afghanistan, these kind of desert landscapes that are really dangerous. But what was interesting to me actually was that the Micronesian soldiers, some of the people I interviewed, sort of drew a parallel. They're like, being in Afghanistan on patrol, it's like village life. The houses are modest. You know, the people are moving at island, you know, at a village pace. They also have brown skin. So there was this interesting, I wouldn't have like predicted that they would draw that connection. But it was interesting.
So in some ways they got reminded of home in Afghanistan.
Correct. Yeah. And there were one of the soldiers in the film, who unfortunately passed away, but according to the accounts, he was the one out of his group who really made an effort to learn the language. I believe it was Pashtun, mm-hmm. and you know, connect with the community. And I think, you know, the military had been in Micronesia for a long time. It had been there sort of as a military force, and then following World War II, there was a military government for a while that was controlling Micronesia. But even after that, once it became a territory and then eventually an independent country, there were still, for a long time, these cat camps, so there'd be military people there. And I remember one person I talked to talking about, when he went to the Philippines, he'd see these naked kids running around and they were throwing candy to them. And then he had this moment where he's like, that was me back in my island.
Nathan Fitch is the director of the film Island Soldier, and you can find more information about the film on our Facebook page, The Conversation.